ask yourself this question. Is it okay to want something? Biblically speaking, is it okay to ever want something that you don't have? Now, many Bible verses speak about contentment and wanting nothing, such as Philippians 4:11 or 1 Timothy 6:6. And even the famous Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In fact, 2 out of the 10 commandments specifically tell us not to covet things that other people have that we don't. Yet we find ourselves every day wanting things we don't have and desiring things that we lack, don't we? And some of those things are good things, too. We want other people to join us on our journey of faith and for them to find life in Christ. We want someone who will be there for us in the hard times. We want love and affection and to live our lives to the fullest. But with so many verses speaking about contentment and being happy with what we have rather than wanting what we don't, it can feel like it's wrong to ever want anything. Now, the Bible often calls our desires evil and wrong. So is it wrong to ever desire anything, even good things? No, that's not the answer. But what is? Now, this Mother's Day, we are going to look at the story of one of the most famous mothers in the Bible, a woman named Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel. We'll be starting right at the beginning of 1 Samuel if you guys want to turn to that right now. And now, tonight, we're going to see a time when Hannah wanted something so desperately, and we're actually going to see why this was right. Now, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles or apps to the beginning of 1 Samuel, now's the time. And that's where we're going to begin right now in the scripture. Here we go. We're going to jump right into this with verse 1 of the first chapter of 1 Samuel. Here we go. "There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuph in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph of Ephraim. Elkanah had 2 wives, Hannah and Peninnah." I know a lot of names, but those three are the most important. Elkanah, Hannah, and Peninnah. Remember those. Now, those 2 wives, of them, Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Now, each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would only give her 1 choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and wouldn't even eat. "Now, why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Nice try, pal, but no, it's not. Sorry. Now, once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." Now, I want to stop right here for now, because if I were in Hannah's shoes, I would probably feel like my attitude was the problem in the whole thing. Like the fact that I was unhappy was my fault because I wasn't happy with what I already had. And I don't know, maybe it's just me that feels that way, but whenever I really want something, even something good, like Hannah did, I find myself kind of beating myself up, and I tell myself that I should just be more content, that I should be happy with what I have instead of complaining about the one thing I don't, and keep trying to bargain with God until I get it. But this isn't how Hannah is made to feel, nor is she given any real reason to feel that way. But let's keep going here. Verse 12. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger. But I'm very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of a great anguish and sorrow." "Well, in that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Then in verse 20, it says, "And in due time, Hannah gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, 'I asked the Lord for him.'" Now, Samuel sounds like the Hebrew term for the phrase asked of God or heard by God. That's why Hannah chose the name Samuel. So God gave Hannah a son. After years of being ridiculed by Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, Hannah poured out her anguish and her request to God, and he granted her request. So how do we reconcile this story with all of the other verses that tell us that we shouldn't desire or want things that we don't have? Well, you see, as with many conflicting pieces of wisdom in the Bible, these two extremes are meant to create a balance in our lives. Point one, be content, but don't think you can never ask for anything. While there are many verses that point us towards contentment, there are also verses like Philippians 4:6, which says, "Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." On the same subject, Jesus, in Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11, says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And this is exactly what Hannah does here in our story. Instead of saying to herself, "Man, I need to be more content like I would," she presents her request to God and leaves the rest in his hands. Yes or no? However, there's one more key thing we need to know about having desires and being content, because there's still something to be considered in the way of man's desires being evil. The things we are desperate for might be good things, but there are times when we think what we want is a good thing, only to realize that it's really part of a selfish desire. Now, we need to evaluate our desires closely before we assume that we are meant to have something. And the takeaway here is this: consider, why am I asking? Why do we want this thing so bad? Why do we desire that thing? Is it for something good at the base of our desire for it? Or are we really looking for something selfish out of it? Will it bring us closer to God? Or will it pull us further away from him and further into ourselves? Do we want to start dating someone because we think it will help us be better Christians, or for a more selfish reason? We need to evaluate the things that we want and why we want them. And the things that we ask God for, we need to determine why we're really asking for them. If we want something for the wrong reasons, the answer might be a no, because that's best for us. But in Hannah's case, she wanted a son so that she could give him back to God in thanks. And God rewards her for that, as we'll see in a moment. So be content, but it's okay to ask God for things. He wants to know how you really feel and what you're really thinking. He loves you, and he loves to give you gifts. So, let's see what happens next with Hannah and her son Samuel. Does she keep her promise to the Lord? Verse 24, when the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a three-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he's granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. It goes on to tell us that Hannah actually received even more children and was even further blessed because she gave Samuel back to God. And the next chapter tells us that Samuel was left at the temple for his days, becoming an assistant to Eli the priest. So one more thing sticks out to me that's interesting in this story, and it makes me feel a little bit sad for Hannah in this part as well, because after Hannah asked God for a son, she got a few short years with him, and then she gave him away before she got those other children. And I know for me, gift-giving is one of my biggest love languages. So when I give somebody a gift, them giving it right back to me would kind of stink. That's not really what I would want for someone I just gave a gift to. I mean, imagine if you gave someone the perfect gift for Christmas. You know, it was absolutely perfect for that person. You knew they wanted it. You got that perfect gift for that person. Then your birthday rolls around and you open that person's gift to you, and it's exactly that thing you gave them. They just re-gifted it to you. Now, as a gift giver, that wouldn't be very exciting to me. I wouldn't be very happy about that because I was excited for them to enjoy that gift. So the question I ask about this story in my mind is, why would Hannah giving her son back to God only a few short years after she got him be a good thing? Well, you see, gift giving with God doesn't exactly work the same way. To give God a gift, you'll have to be giving him back something that he's already given to you. And that's point two. The only gifts that we can give God are the gifts he's already given us. Everything we have has already come from the outpouring of God's love towards us. Ecclesiastes 3:20 says, "All came from the dust and all returned to the dust." We weren't able to acquire anything for ourselves or be anything of worth to God without him first putting that worth in us. Only God's kindness was able to give us all of the things that we have today. So in giving those things back to him, he is made happy simply because it shows him that our hearts belong to him. Now, God doesn't want anything from you. In the same way, God did not create some elaborate plan just to get Hannah's child from her. God doesn't want you just for the stuff you can do for him and stuff you can give him. There's nothing that we can give God that he doesn't already have, except for our humble and sincere obedience in life. If we want to give love back to God, the best gift we can give him is our praise and our obedience for our lives. Because everything we have came from God. And while God is not after our stuff, there is a reason that we are given every blessing that we are bestowed. And the only things we can give back to God are the things he's already blessed us with. So how do we really give God a gift? If we want to give back to him, how do we really do that then? Well, that may look very different for each of us. Which blessings are we to use for God's kingdom? When are we meant to use them? Once we realize that everything we have comes from God, that's when we can follow the takeaway for this point. Give God control of your blessings. No matter what you are given, you can give something back to God by giving God control of that blessing. You can give your love back to God by presenting him with everything you have and letting it be used for what he wants it to be used for. Now, this might be difficult for some blessings we have been given. I mean, when you get a spotless, brand new car, you might be a little bit hesitant to let a youth group student ride in the back seat after they've been covered in sand. But that might be exactly what God's asking you to do, because you got a group beach trip coming up and they got too many people for one car. You might be asked to give up that quick check sandwich that you just bought because somebody else doesn't have the money to buy themselves a meal. Or you might be asked to give up your only son because Israel needs him as a new judge, like Hannah. And it was good for Hannah to be willing to let go of her son. Now, she didn't toss him away as if she didn't want him. She simply gave God the control over her blessings. And she knew that, like Abraham, if God didn't want her and her son to be separated, he would have stopped that sacrifice from happening. He would have given Hannah her son back if that was how it was meant to be. But God did have big plans for Samuel. And it took a very brave mother to give up her son so that God could use him to bring about greater things. In the same way, we need to be willing to let our blessings be used for God's purposes. Yeah, our new cars might get dirty. Our blessings might get a little worse for the wear in the use, but they will be used for important things. And that's what matters. Now, we might even have to give up some blessings entirely. Maybe that's what God wants. Maybe we're in possession of something that God doesn't want us to have. Now, we have to be brave enough to listen to God's voice and follow his word. Only by doing this can we truly give anything back to God in giving our lives back to God. That's the only way. And in the end, we will be benefited by following God more than we would be by enjoying our blessings. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying our blessings. But we need to remember that everything we have really belongs to God. And we need to trust him enough to use our blessings for his benefit, not just ours. Like Hannah, one of the most notable mothers in the Bible, we need to remember to be content, but we also need to remember that it's okay to ask, even if the answer is no. It's okay to have desires and dreams, but we also need to evaluate why we are so desperate for certain things. Will getting that thing bring me closer to God? Or will it take me in a completely different direction? And at the end of the day, no matter what blessings we find ourselves with, we need to leave them in God's hands, recognizing that it was always his to begin with. And we need to follow his direction, using our gifts in the ways that he says. As the worship leaders return and we close out in song, think of the blessings that you've been given lately. Have you been blessed with a mom who cares about you this Mother's Day, like Hannah cared for Samuel? Have you been telling yourself that you can never want anything better? Have you been thinking that God will be angry with you if you ever ask him for anything else? Have you been asking for something for a long time, but God isn't giving it to you? Maybe you need to figure out why you really want that thing. Maybe you're looking for a way to give back to God, but you don't really know how. But you'll need to know it may end up costing you something. But if it does, it'll be worth it. As we sing this last song, connect with God through it. As we sing, let the lyrics lead you in prayer. Say what you need to say to God and ask him to strengthen your relationship with him, whatever that might mean. Would you stand? Dear Jesus, Lord, I thank you for loving us enough to give us good gifts, Lord. And I also thank you for loving us enough to say no when we're asking for something that's going to hurt us, Lord. Lord, I pray that above all, we would desire you, that we wouldn't desire anything more than we desire to get closer to you, Lord. I pray that you would guide us in our walks with you, Lord. As we go forward, help us to not be distracted by new things that look great that we might want in this world, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to focus on you above all. And Lord, this Mother's Day, I thank you for giving us the great mothers that we have, Lord, the ones who've taken care of us and been there for us. I pray that we'd be able to give something back to them, even if all we have for them is just our love, Lord. Thank you for bringing us all here so that we could come and learn about you and grow closer to you and hopefully closer to each other, Lord. Lord, keep us safe as we go into the next week and bring us back here safe, Lord. I thank you for everything you've given us, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week, Saturday, 7 o'clock.